look through, and we'll pray that we'll have the energy and the strength to go through all that we're supposed to go through. So it's good that we have this, so that will make us a bit faster. So I would encourage you to take down notes, so that, because this is a study, something that we should be able to go back in our spare time and look through. We are going to go over some of the things we did in the night quickly, and then hopefully we can move a little bit further. Last night we began with Psalm 90, verse 1. Remember, we are looking at the transition from the old order into the new. And then the new order, this old order includes the so-called evangelical, Pentecostal experience, all that we have all been used to, which has been a mixture. But God is moving His people into the reality. You know, it says, until we all come, you know, to that measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, which is what we are talking about. We are speaking of that stature of Christ, that measure of the fullness of Christ, which is Christ, and which is the priesthood of Melchizedek, which is the priesthood of the soul. These are eternal things. These are things that are beyond time. There are things that are beyond time. Time began from Adam, and when God finishes Adam, then time will continue. Psalm 90, it says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. I would say that the generations, they speak of our time in God. God had us in Him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Nobody's here. Okay, I'll operate from there. Fine. Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So our concern this week is heavenly places, you know, in Christ. When you think of Christ, you think of heaven, spiritual. And what we are trying to do, we want to lay the foundation so that we will be aware that we are heavenly. You know, the Bible says, as we are born the image of the earthly, we must also bear the image of the heavenly. Now we must begin to bear the heavenly image. Not tomorrow, now. We must begin to walk into it. Because if you don't walk into it, you'll be left behind. You and I will be left behind. This whole church can be left behind if we are not willing to walk into. That's what God is saying, brethren. So we have gone beyond church and fellowship and group. All those are old order. We are coming into the order of Christ. The body of Christ is a mystical body, it's a spiritual body. It's not located, it's not tied down to geography. You know, so we must also change and begin to function and walk in what God is saying. So we're looking at the heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. God had a people in Him. It's like a woman is carrying a pregnancy. It may even be more than that. Okay? And this pregnancy, our own, is 9 months. But how long has God had us in Him? Do you understand? So you must, if you are counting your genealogy, you must count your genealogy according to God's own order, that He had us in Him from the foundation of the world. Now, who is in Him? In Him is Christ, and Christ is the Son of God. Do you understand? He had us in Him from the foundation of the world. So it had nothing to do with Port Harcourt and Nigeria and Africa and all Nigeria, all the things you are dealing with. This is beyond it. So if you are talking of overcoming, then you must begin from there. You must go beyond. You must be removed from this environment and you must come into the spirit. Then you can understand what God is saying. Because that is where the devil is operating from. And that is where your soul is operating from, whether you know it or not. You know, so we must address it at that point. That's what we are trying to do in this meeting. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Who is him? Christ, the Son of God. Who is it? Well, you say it's the second person. Do you understand? Well, we are in God from the foundation of the world. And the man says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Hallelujah. We came from God. We are in God and we will ever remain in God. Hallelujah. We can never go away from his presence. So the earlier we accept it and we believe it, the better for us. Hallelujah. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So when we talk about the throne and priesthood, you must understand it from this perspective. Hallelujah. That we should be holy and without blame before him alone. I would have gone into this, but let me not get distracted. But the point is that there is a consecration that must be upon us. If you look at the most holy place, it speaks of a place of consecration. Consecrated from evil, from darkness. It says that when you were in the world, you were without righteousness. It's a consecration. You see a man of the world, he is consecrated unto darkness. He doesn't know anything about God. He doesn't want to know. The devil makes sure he doesn't know about God. It's a consecration to walk evil. Do you understand? So also, we must have a consecration to walk righteousness where there is no evil. And he's still the same man. So it's either the man is going towards darkness or he's going towards God in righteousness. So the thing is, there must be a separation. And hopefully we should be getting to that point where we can see the consecration that he is bringing us into. You know, so he had chosen us before the foundation of the world that we will be in Christ. So we are zeroing in on Christ because Christ is the keystone. Alright, Christ was chosen before the foundation of the world and we were chosen to be in Christ before the foundation of the world. So Christ is the keystone. Alright, so that's the first point. And then we talked about Acts chapter 2. We talked about the sure mercies of David. Acts chapter 2, are you there? Acts chapter 2 from 28. Okay, let me read from 29. He said, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. Okay? That he is both dead and buried, and that his body is with us this day. Now, 30. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins. See, when you speak of loins, well, again, we speak as men, but God speaks as God. So when God speaks of loins, he's not just talking about your natural loins. He's speaking about the spiritual, he's speaking of the mind, the emotions, the desire, and so on. Now, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. But come down. This Jesus had God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Now, what is the sure message of David? God came to David and said that because of this covenant I make with you, that there will always be one from your loins who will sit upon the throne of David. That was a physical covenant. It was a perpetual covenant, and it has continued. But you see, God, in speaking to him, also began to speak to him in the spirit. Because David is not just natural, but David speaks of his people. Okay, so in other words, he was speaking about a throne. You are looking at a natural throne, but there's also a spiritual throne. Now, the spiritual throne that he was saying that his son, the son of David, is Christ. Okay, the natural son of David will sit upon a natural throne. The spiritual son of David will sit where? On a spiritual throne. Do you understand? Take it again. The natural son of David had a covenant that they will always sit upon a natural throne. And God made sure everything, all his resources, he released it to him. Make sure that happened. Alright? Now, there is also a spiritual throne, and there is a spiritual son of David. And that son is Christ. Now, Christ is the son of David, but his father is God. Is that correct? Christ is the son of David, naturally, but his father is who? God. So Jesus is the spiritual son of David. Hallelujah. So being the son of David, he had to have a throne. Do you understand? So God has promised him a throne that as far as he is, as truly as I live. This place is so hot. As truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. So, the spiritual son of David must have a throne. And that throne is where? It's in the soul. Amen. Do you understand that? You must understand that. So, it said, because of that oath, he knew, said that thou will not leave my soul in hell. Because that soul is the throne of the spiritual son of David. Amen. So, he says, because of that, because of this sure message of David, because of this covenant that God had with David, his soul will not be left in hell. Rather, his soul will come to the resurrection of Christ. The soul must be resurrected. Now, if you understand that the soul will be resurrected, then are you going to be part of it? Because whether you like it or not, that must be an experience. The soul must be resurrected because there is an oath. I said that when God swears with an oath, it cannot be erased. Yeah. Hallelujah. It is an oath of God that the soul must be resurrected. Yeah. So, God said that in Christ, all will be made alive. If you want to be alive, what will you do? You get into Christ. When you get into Christ, life begins to flow in you. And we are bringing that to natural things. And I'm saying, look at your body. Where do you eat? Do you eat with your legs? Do you eat with your hand? Even if you eat with your hand, there is a place where the food enters. Where is it? It's in the head. It is the responsibility of the head to feed the body. It is the responsibility of the head to feed the body. I just hope you can get that point. It is not the responsibility of the body to feed itself. No, the body does not feed itself. It's the head that feeds the body. And the Bible said that the Christ cherishes and nourishes the body because it is of his flesh and of his bone. It is his responsibility. Now, if you say you are in the body, then Christ must be feeding you. That's how you know those who are in the body. You can raise your hand and shout, oh, this is it. But if you are not receiving life from Christ, go and check your status. Check your body status. If you are in the body, you will have a connection with the head. That's why it says that the wise woman, you know what happened? That she shall be given an ornament of grace. You know what? It shall be put upon her neck. The neck speaks of submission. When you submit your head to the neck, you know, so you receive an ornament of grace. And of what? The most important one. Of what? Wisdom. That's what makes you a bride.
You cannot be a bride unless you have wisdom. Because it is the wisdom that beautifies your soul, so that the bridegroom can desire your beauty. Do you understand? The soul must be made beautiful, attractive. And there are certain spirits you must receive for the king to come to you. And that spirit is the spirit of wisdom. And it doesn't come anyhow. So wisdom is the principal thing. The woman must bring her neck and submit. Then she is given the spirit of marriage, wisdom, the fear of the Lord, the counsel of the Lord, spirit of wisdom, of might, and of the fear of all those things. Those are things that are brought to the soul when the soul submits. But you see, if the soul is not beheaded, like someone says, it's the head offering. Yeah? That is the fifth station, you know, the golden altar. It is the place of head offering. You bring the head and you lay it down. When you lay it down, you receive a new head. And from that moment, there is a flow of life to your soul. You don't need to go and plant. You know, like I say, how many birds do you know who have a farm? Yeah? Do you know any bird that has a farm? But who feeds them? God feeds the birds. And they're healthy. They look to God that He gives them what they need. Okay? The young lion, he cries and God comes to him and gives him food. Hallelujah. If God does it for them, how much more you? God can nourish you and give you life and strengthen you. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So so we're looking at the sure message of David. Okay, that there is and there must be a resurrection of the soul, because there is an oath that God has made. And the resurrection of the soul is what the Bible calls the resurrection of Christ, or the same thing as the first resurrection. And that resurrection is the resurrection of priests. Okay? Now let's read Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Amen. Amen. Revelation 20, are we there? Go to verse 4. Okay. Say, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. He's talking about thrones. Okay? And I saw the souls. Actually, the thrones he saw were the souls. Alright? The thrones he saw were the souls who had been prepared, because they had been beheaded. You cannot be a throne when you are still not beheaded. Okay, I will talk about beheading later. So, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads. So this is the call. The worship of the beast, of the image, and all those things. Again, hopefully, I pray we can overcome in this meeting and we can get into it. And then, if you be able to break it down, and then you'll be clear. Who have not received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they live and they reign with Christ 1,000 years. Okay, verse 5. Bring it up. Okay, good. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. It's not a suggestion. Yes? Before. Yeah, they overcame. And okay, let's read it. Let's go back to look at the last phrase. And they lived and reigned with Christ for a yes. So they resurrected and then they reigned with Christ.
Okay? Good. So is this resurrection we are talking of? And we are saying that this resurrection is the resurrection of the soul. Because remember, the order of resurrection, say every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. And they that are Christ. We are the ones that are Christ. Christ, they that are Christ are his body. You understand? Christ is the head. He is the first. He has taken place part in that first resurrection. You understand? Because Christ, who is the head, when he came into the body, he had the fullness of God in his spirit. He had the fullness of God in his soul. But that fullness was not in his body. Do you understand? you are taking too many things here. Remove those things from your head. Just follow me. Because if you put it all together, you will understand. Okay, good. So let's go back. Christ, Jesus Christ, who is the head of Christ? Forget about this scripture. Look at me now. Jesus is the head of Christ. Good. Now, this Jesus, who is the head of Christ, when he came on earth, he had the fullness of God in his spirit. Agreed? He had the fullness of God in his soul. Agreed? But he didn't have this fullness in his body. Because if he had the fullness, he wouldn't have died. Okay? Good. You made the connection. So Jesus, when he came, was like, you see, we are going to where he was. He had the fullness of God in his spirit. Many of us will have the fullness of God already in our spirit. Isn't that so? Good. He had the fullness of God in his soul, which we don't have. Which you must have now. Do you understand? But because he had the fullness of God in his soul, his body was not yet come to that point. So he gave his body down. But after 3 days and 3 nights, what happened? That life of God came into his body and he recollected his faculties. So the fullness came in his spirit, soul, and body. I said, behold, I am alive forevermore. Alright? So that Christ, anywhere the body gathers, that Christ is there as an individual. Okay? Christ is also in you. Christ, there's a dimension of Christ in you. And the dimension of Christ in me. But that Christ in me is still being formed. You understand? And then there is the Christ when we gather together. So we have Christ in you, Christ as a person, and then the manifestation of Christ in the midst of the body. He walks in the midst of the golden candlestick. Okay? So if that is clear, that means that for us, we have the fullness of God in our spirit. We have to receive the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption is to adopt our soul to also become the sons of God. And when that power comes into our soul, our body will naturally also be changed. You understand? So that is the order of the resurrection. So that's what he's saying here. And he's speaking about this coming of Christ into the soul. And that's what he's saying, that, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the way. Now, Christ, the soul has a problem. The problem of the soul is that the soul is a god. It is that we call it the kings of the earth. There is a spirit of rebellion, the spirit of the beast that entered into, of darkness that entered into Adam when he took that fruit. And it is the spirit of good and evil. A mixture. He entered into him and began to multiply. That darkness must be addressed. But see, before you can address that darkness, you must understand the nature of the soul. And that is what it means by the Day of Atonement. Because that's when God says you must afflict the soul. This soul has problems. There are spirits that have lodged in the depths of the soul. And we must dislodge them. And that is the work of the ministry. That's why the blood is given and all that. So we can go on. So they say, and they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again. Those who don't take part in this resurrection, they continue in their state. Okay? Those who have died and those who are on the earth. Okay? Until after the 1,000 years we are finished. He said, this is the first resurrection. Look at verse 6. That's what I'm going to say. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. But they shall be what? Priest of God. And a Christ. I shall reign with him eternally. So, the first resurrection is the resurrection of priests. See, there are many things. Leave the many things. Just take the small ones. So, let's speak the small one. That this is the resurrection of priests. If you want to be a priest, you must be part of the first resurrection. You must bring your soul to the point where it is beheaded. Where Christ becomes the head of the soul. Where Christ becomes the dominion of the soul. Then you are a partaker of the first resurrection. This has nothing to do with crusades, with camp meeting. What is it again? I'm an elder, I'm not an elder. I'm an evangelist, I'm not an evangelist. My father is born in Abba. My father was born in England. All those things don't come in here. Because they ask you, did you worship the beast? the book. Did you worship the beast, my friend, on this side? Did you worship the beast? No. On this side. Are you beheaded on this side? Are you beheaded on that side of the road? That is where we are now. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay. So we've got that. We have to go on. Okay. So we've got the first principle. That is the sure mercies of David. We have established that. Now, we are going on to the second one. That the soul of man is the eternal temple and sanctuary of God. The soul of man, your soul, is the eternal dwelling place. It's God's house that he has built forever. Okay? You must understand that. That means that the soul has been functioning as a priest and as God's dwelling place even before Adam came. Even when Adam was there. Even when the Old Testament came. That the time the Old Testament ends, the priest will continue to be, the soul will continue to be a place of offering. A place of sacrifice. So let's read it, and then we'll be able to establish that. Psalm 132. Go down to about 13. Go down. Go to 12. Okay, let's read for 13. It says, for the Lord hath chosen Zion. He had designed it for his habitation. Okay, can we read it together? The next verse. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Amen. Say, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her with praise. I'm sorry, with salvation. And her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Come down. There will I make the horn of David to bud. You see David again? I have ordained a lamb for my anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. Amen. This is not a suggestion. It is the lawyer is here. They are here. What is this? It's a direct statement. It says, I have desired Zion from as my rest forever. Amen. He said, here will I dwell, for I have chosen it. Then you're asking, you see, remember, we're saying God, the God of all the universe. Do you know that it's possible that where we are now is under the earth, yet the water on the earth is not falling away? Do you understand? The earth is round and it's rotating. Yet the waters are not falling away. Oh my God. Hallelujah.
Somebody say God is dull. That in God there is no excitement. The person that is dull is the person saying it, not God. Hallelujah. Because if you say you want to go on a vacation, you say come and go to vacation or to Kenya, what will you do? You want to go and look at lion. Is it not so? You want to go and see lion, how it is running around. Who made the lion? If the lion can make you excited, the person that made the lion should be more excited, isn't that so? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God can never be done. It's because we, our hearts are cold, hard, far away from God. Hallelujah. When we come close to God, our life will be filled with excitement. Amen. Okay. So this is, we've seen this. Let's look at Psalm 48. Psalm 48. Psalm 48. Okay. Say, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the side of the north, the city of the great King. Amen. Amen. This city is not Port Harcourt. This is the city of God. So to understand it, you must enter into God and have the mind of God to understand what Zion is. Amen. Amen. Say, in my Father's house are what? Many dwelling places. Many oikodomia. Many houses. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, you can read down and down, but you can read it when you get home. Let's look at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. So come down to 20, I think. No, further down. Okay, yes. Let's start from 21. He said, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. Which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than Abel. Amen. This is Zion. So this Zion is a spiritual house. Amen. This Zion is the happening thing in heaven. It is where everybody is. And if everybody is there, why do you want to be somewhere else? Why should I be somewhere else when everybody is in Zion? Amen. It is the church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. And when you think of Melchizedek, you must think of the firstborn. And we will explain that. The firstborn is the priest. The firstborn is the priest. Amen. So we will come to that later. But we have seen Zion, and then it gives us the different aspects of Zion. The blood of sprinkling, the angels, spirits of just men made perfect, the general assembly of, you know, of the firstborn, and so on and so on. Now let's go to Isaiah 14. Let me borrow your Bible. Your Bible. Isaiah 14. Sorry, I need to note something. Thank you.
Okay. Isaiah 14. From verse 12, I think. Okay. Now, we see another aspect of Zion. How are thou falling from heaven, O Lucifer or Hillel, son of the morning? How are thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Who are the stars of God? Okay. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. What is the size of the north? It's a beautiful for situation. It's Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great. So this Zion is a place for warfare. Do you understand? The devil says, I will come to Zion and I will be God also. God is there. They say, no, I will be God also in Zion. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. That is the contention. That Zion is under contention. The devil says, I will also sit upon Zion. So there is a spirit of rebellion. There is a spirit of darkness. There is a spirit that is opposing God. He said, he as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself as God, and demanding worship as God. That is the issue. Amen. The issue is not crusade or outreach. The issue is Zion. This move of darkness to usurp the authority of God in Zion. Okay, it says 14. It says, I will ascend above the height of the clouds. And then, can you watch that phrase? I will be like the Most High. Amen. Now, assuming you are God, Sister Domo, you are God now. And I am coming to you, I say, I want to be a son. How will you judge me? How would you are God, and I'm coming, I say, I want to be a priest. I want to be a son. You say, no problem. But there is something you must do. What must you do? Are you for or against? Amen. What is your position about this rebellion in the holiest place? Amen. What is our position? And brethren, that is what God is concerned with. But the end time people of God are interested in church, in fellowship, in group, things that do not have any bearing. Hallelujah. And that's why God has moved on. We have name, we have movement, but it's dead. I'm telling you, the end time movement is dead. The way it is organized. Amen. And that organization is even including us, because we too, we have our own organization here. And we must come out of that organization and come into God. Say amen, huh? Amen. We must come into God. Man knows organization. Amen. A church has its own life. If you come here and sing and clap, you feel good. You go home, you have had church. Whether God speaks or not, it doesn't mean anything. Whether you are touching the mind of God, it doesn't mean anything. Because a church has its own organization. You read, I pray. Prayer point, you collect prayer point, you pray. And you say, hey, who is traveling to Abba? Oh yeah, you pray for us, let's go to Abba. What's wrong with you? You are going to where? Pray for him. What's wrong with you? You have exam, pray for him. You have had fellowship. They ask you, how was fellowship? Praise the Lord. In fact, the Lord moved. You don't move, you are collecting prayer points. But the cross of the matter, where do you stand regarding the rebellion in your father's house?
There is a rebellion in your father's house. You are going to Abuja and going to Port Harcourt. Amen. 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 We must be concerned about the rebellion in the house. Somebody is challenging God. And you are busy going to Abba and going to Abuja and everywhere. Amen. God is not interested in those things. He can give it to you. We read it yesterday. It's not today. While they were still eating the food, leanness entered into their soul. And many people think today that with God, you can get anything you want. You want job? You just call God. He gives it to you. Why would you follow God when He can give you a job? So the main issue is not being addressed. And that's what God is doing. He's bringing us back. He's calling the people to move on. Brethren, God is saying, come out of her. Come out of her. Come out of her is not a geographical location. It is a place. Amen. It is a the place of religion. It is in the heart. You know, in those days they say, oh, I've come out of Babylon. When we stop going to lecture hall one, I've come out of Babylon. Well, thank God. Amen. But we are now seeing that the Babylon is more than lecture hall one. Oh. It is more than 109 Agri Road. This Babylon is in the soul. I must come out of it. Amen. And I must move on. Hallelujah. So he tells us very clearly that there is a rebellion. Now let's read the other scripture, Ezekiel 28. We're trying to move fast so that we can cover. We're just on point number 2, and we have 14. Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Okay, it says, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God. Now, it was the practice of God to address spirits through men. This king of Tyre, his name was Hiram, and Hiram means pride. So God was addressing a spirit through that man. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Like Peter, he says, get behind me, Satan. Peter wasn't Satan, but there was a spirit that he was addressing. So that's the same thing you find here. He was addressing the devil, but through this king of Tyre, of Tyros. He said, thou fillest up the song, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee, in the day that thou was created. Very clear, is it not so? Thou art the anointed cherub that covers, and have said this so. Thou was upon the holy mountains of God. Thou has walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they might behold thee. You know, it goes on and on and on. You can read it at home. But it tells us very clearly, you know, that he's speaking of the garden. He's speaking about the soul. That this soul is more than you think. Your mind, your emotions, your desires, more than you think. And the Bible said that your soul is the eternal dwelling place of God. It's a place of offering. It's a place of dwelling. It's a place of altar. It's a place of sacrifice. The place of communion and so on and all that and all that. So it's important that we give ourselves to it, yes? both now. The devil, no, it's speaking of the devil, but the devil is operating in the realms of the soul. So that has been in the garden. Okay? And we know that he's speaking of the soul because the soul is a place of fellowship, it's a garden. You understand? He was in the garden and then he dealt with Eve and so on. When we go on, it will become clearer. You can, because it's all in the same dimension. Okay, so we have to move from this point. So I think that clearly establishes the soul as the sanctuary in the heavens. Okay, and in other words, and what we have said in summary is that the soul speaks of Zion. Zion is the dwelling place of God. In other words, the various souls that give themselves to God make up Zion. Okay? They make up Zion. And he says there are, you know, the spirits of just men made perfect and all that and all that. So when you speak of Zion, you are speaking of the priesthood of Melchizedek and so on. So this is just a foundation. We will come to it. Now, the next thing we talked about, we say God is a spirit. Now the third principle we talked about quickly. I'm just trying to go over it, at least go into some more depth, and then we'll go on. You see, God is a spirit, and we looked at John chapter 4, verse 23. Okay, John 4, 23. He says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So since God is a spirit, God also made you to be a spirit. He made you to have a soul, which is a product of the Spirit of God. Of God. God breathed into you his breath, and his breath formed another realm of the Spirit called the soul. So both the spirit of man and the soul of man are all of a spiritual nature. And they dwell in a tent called the body. Amen. Flesh. Amen. When the man dies, the flesh has done his work. Amen. But the soul goes on to God. Amen. And then the spirit goes back to God. Hallelujah. In other words, so the spirit of man was given to bring the soul into God. In fact, to restore the soul of God back, the soul of man back to its place of spiritual functioning. You understand? That's why you receive a spirit. Someone says, God gave you his spirit so that you can hear his voice. It's like a transmitter. The spirit of man hears from God, relates to God. The spirit of man also relates to the soul and then relates those things to God. So it's like a bridge between the heaven and the earth. The soul is like a bridge. It stands between the earthly and stands between the spiritual. Amen. But in its functioning, it is spiritual. Okay? So God did that. If we are not spiritual, we cannot relate with God. God is a spirit. The Bible said that God is not a man. Is it not so? That he should lie. Is it not so? So he's not a man. Amen. Just put it up. You know, so God is not a man. But God must deal with men. Because these men he has made have a spirit within them. So there is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of God speaks to it, quickens it. You know? Speaks to it and quickens it. There is a spirit in man. Amen. That spirit of man in man must communicate with God in order to find its life, to get nourishment, to get strength. If my spirit does not communicate with God, it's lost. Amen. The spirit in man must go to God, must restore to God, must be connected to God, must receive life and all that. And that's why you know, we are saying we have to review the way we relate to God now. It's not the question of, well, let me just do this, because if I don't do it, you know, it's not out of compare, because we are hungering for God. Man must respond to God. Amen. If you look at those cherubims, their focus was on the mercy seat, in that place of communion with God, their face. Hallelujah. It speaks of a hunger, a dedication, and a consecration to fellowshipping with God, to talking with God, hearing from God, you know. And many of us, we need to make a break, you know. We are still not breaking through. Amen. We're not walking in that place where we're walking the word. The word of God doesn't flow out of us. We have the tapes, we have this, but we're not using it. Because there are so many things that are taking our time. Television, one program, family, all those things. You see, you can give all the reasons from now to tomorrow. The truth of the matter is that we are not yet hungry for God. I'm telling you from myself, I'm not yet hungry for God. Because when I come home from 6 o'clock to 12 o'clock, what am I doing in the evening? CNN, Al Jazeera, BBC, Premier Sports. By the time I finish, it's 12 o'clock and I'm tired. I say, okay, I'll try again tomorrow. That's me. Those things are more important. They are more important than going, take the message and put it. Even when I put the message, in 30 minutes I've slept. 30 minutes slept. I say, God understand. God does not understand anything. No. He is saying, my son, repent. Say amen now. My son, repent. Amen. Repent. We are not hungry. We don't. We are giving ourselves so many excuses. God does not understand those excuses. To whom much is given? Huh? Much will be expected. We need to push ourselves. These cherubims, they are everything. They are lion, bird, all the other things. They tell you it's natural. But they still overcame and they are focused on God. Hallelujah. You can do everything you should do and you are still focused on God. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Amen. You can be preparing your lesson note and listening to a message. Try it. I do it. Amen. How is it your business? The message is entering my spirit and I'm preparing lesson notes. Amen. Scripture is playing, it's entering my spirit and I am preparing, marking scripture. The scripture is entering. Hallelujah. We are not aggressive. Somebody is coming in your office. As the person is talking to you, you are listening to a message. Yes? You say, hey, what do you want? You finish with him, put the thing back and continue. That is, we must be focused. We must be hungry. Hallelujah. Then when we come there, then God will say, yes, they are ready. And I'm telling you, where we are now, God is going to move us far beyond where we are now. But you see, God cannot give us some things because we are not ready. He can't give his things to dogs. Because we are just, you know, we have things up here, but we are in our focus. We are not. We are not. So we need to go back to the drawing board. We need to look at the way we spend our time. You know, you are driving. What are you doing? That time of driving, what are you doing? You are cooking. What are you doing? You are washing clothes. What are you doing? Amen. Say amen now. Your time, you wake up in the morning. From that time you woke up to when you are, what have you done about telling God, say, God, I am a spirit. Amen. You are a spirit. Let two of us fellowship. Amen. And he has given us the things to fellowship, the word of God. He has given it to us. Play it. Amen. I'm listening to news and playing scripture. Amen. How is it your business? I'm playing scripture. Amen. Something must enter into my soul. I'm sleeping. The scripture is playing. Amen. All the devils will run away from your house because they don't want to hear that scripture. Amen. So, you know, so I'm saying, brethren, we need to change our gear to the gear called. Amen. We must be a people that are desperate. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and men of violence take it by force. Amen. Are you violent about it? Are you determined about this thing? Say, God, I am taking it by force. Amen. And when the devil sees that you mean business, he will run away from you. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so we have seen this point. Let's go to the next one. Number four. We say God is a spirit. Then number four, we said man is a spirit being. We looked at that. I've mentioned part of it. Can we look at that? Numbers 27:16. I know I'm going over what I did yesterday, but I'm doing it purposely. I want to establish it because that's the foundation. I'm doing it purposely. Amen. Numbers 27:16. I want you to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. Yes, that's the fourth one. The third one is that God is a spirit. Isn't that so? We talked about it. Then number four is that man is also a spirit to fellowship with God. Alright? Good. Numbers 27:16. It says, let the Lord, the God of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. Can you put the interlinear? Let's just look at it. Okay, so you can see, we'll do a little bit of Hebrew. You can see the first Lord is Yahovah. Now the second one is Elohim. Okay, now all those people who are running around say, what did they say? Man is a God. What did they say? This scripture has even settled it, because there are different words used for God. Nobody has told you I am Jehovah. You understand? God is Jehovah. But the word Elohim is used for God. It can also be used for men who are of a high rank, like magistrates and chief, lord, prince. You understand? Good. But you say the Jehovah, Elohim, Ruach. So he's trying to make a differentiation that there is a God of gods. Amen. So man is not that God of gods. So that should settle all that running around. Amen. He said, the Lord, the God of the Spirit, Ruach. When you look at the word Ruach, it's the same thing all over the place. The same word used for the Holy Spirit is the same word used for Ruach. Okay? Like if you click on that Ruach, you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, and there was darkness all over the earth. And what? And the Ruach, and the Spirit of God was upon the face of the waters. Let's look at Genesis 1. Okay, Genesis 1. We'll just see it quickly and then. Verse 2. Say, and the earth was without form and void. Okay. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And what? Ruach Elohim. Raka. Amen. Alright. So, it's the same spirit. So, within man, God breathed his spirit. Amen. God took his portion of spirit and gave to him. Now, this place in Numbers, let's go back to Numbers. Just click back. Click back. Good. Now, this place in Numbers was because Moses was going to be taken away, isn't it also? And Moses was telling God, say, there's no who will lead these people. So he said, okay, take the spirit that is upon you and do what? Put it upon Joshua. Lay your hands. And when he did that, a portion of the spirit that was upon Moses came upon. Amen. It's called transference of spirit, laying on our hands. That's what God did to us. God breathed upon us. He laid hands on us. A part of God came into man. Hallelujah. A part of the spirit of God came. Actually, a river began to flow from God into man. Do you understand? Say amen now. That river has not stopped. God breathed into man. There was a flow of life in from the bowels of God into that flesh. Hallelujah. That river stopped when sin came. But I can give you the good news. That river is being established again. Hallelujah. And that is what is going to feed you. Not going to Abba and Maitre and all those places. You are going to, you want to enjoy yourself. So let me now go and watch television. You want to enjoy yourself, let me watch a good program. Is it not so? Or you can buy Nollywood film. That is not the way to enjoy yourself. If you want to enjoy yourself, what do you do? Say, spring up, oh well. Hallelujah. You say what? Spring up, oh well. I refresh my soul. Hallelujah. It says, and out of the deep wells will you draw wells of water. Hallelujah. Spring up, oh wells, within my soul. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So God breathed into Adam. That river began to flow. Amen. So within man is a portion of God's spirit called spirit and soul. Amen. I hope I'm not in trouble with that. Hallelujah. Amen. So because man has the spirit of God, has the nature of God, he can fellowship with God. Amen. God can speak to you, you can understand him because you are of the same nature. Birds of the same feather, what do? They flock together. Hallelujah. The Bible said that deep calleth unto deep. Amen. That's fellowship. You can touch. And brethren, our fellowship must now come to that level. Me and my wife, we must be deep, must be calling to deep. It's not everything you say, but without talking, the message is understood. Hallelujah. There's a flow of life. And when the flow is not there, you know something is wrong. So also in the fellowship. The fellowship is gone beyond administration. Amen. Well, not that we speak and say, we've gone beyond that point. We are coming to the point of deep calling unto deep. That's the flow of life. Amen. When God wants you to do something, you can know that this is what God is saying. Hallelujah. It's practical. You come out of your morning. I came out this morning. I said, look, if I follow this road I followed yesterday, I won't get here. Amen. God said, take the bad road. But how can I follow it? My head was saying, bad road, no. I followed the old way, and when I went, the whole place was, there was not even, the place was a river. I turned back and followed the road God told me. And when I got there, nobody was on the road, and it was not bad. Within 10 minutes, I was on the main road. Amen. You woke up in the morning, and God is telling you what is different from what is in your head. Hallelujah. That's what we're talking of. The place where you are fellowshipping with God. Where God is knocking on the depth within you. And he tells you things. Amen. You wake up in the morning, God says, put your money here and invest on this business. He said the other day, the stock market said, God said, invest here. Hallelujah. Say amen now. He told Peter, cast your net. He said, oh my Lord. Yeah. But Papa is a fisher. Me too, I'll be a fisher. As my Papa taught me. By this time of the night, no more fish in this place. Amen. He said, my friend, cast your net. That's the problem we have. God is telling us to go this way. I say, my Papa is a fisher. I won't go there. Amen. We need to come to the point where we are hearing from heaven. And we are going the way God wants us to go. Hallelujah. So it's very clear, we have seen this, that man has the nature of the spirit. So let's go to number 5. We're in number 5. The number 5 is Emmanuel. We are at Emmanuel. 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 There are many Emmanuels in this room. Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? Where can you see Emmanuel in the tabernacle? Think. Look at the tabernacle. Tell me where you see Emmanuel in the tabernacle. Mercy seat. Okay, good. But there is one that is very, very, very good. The lampstand. What do you find in the lampstand? This is not right. What happened to my markers? Okay. So this is the shaft.
I have the week. What is here? Huh? What does the, this is the week. And then you have the oil. So which one is God? Which one is man? Oil is God. And then weak is what? A human. And what is the weak? Weak is the spirit of man. Weak is the soul of man. And weak is the body. Amen. And both the spirit and soul, they are all soaked in God. And is covered by God. Amen. Say amen now. Hallelujah. That's Emmanuel. God with us. Hallelujah. God, that is the way God made it. And in the doctrine of Christ, the spirit must be overtaken by God, must be swallowed by God. The soul must be swallowed by God and become godly. The body also shall also be taken up and put on incorruption. So, incorruption is going to be in the spirit, in the soul, and in the body. I remember there is fire here. There is fire. Amen. Hallelujah. So it says that the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Don't sleep now. Because I want to tell you something very important. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. What is a lamp? My people, what is lamp? Some, my sister says it's light. Okay. Or a light holder. What do you do with light? You give light. You brighten, drive away the darkness. Hallelujah. So let's go back to that scripture. That the spirit of man is the light of the soul. Amen. Means there is darkness in the soul. Is it not so? So, if light is going to come into your soul, where will it come from? From the spirit. It's only the spirit that can give light to you. And let me say it again. Nollywood can never teach you anything. He says, I'm always looking for trouble. I agree. Nollywood will not teach you. Say it now. Nollywood cannot teach you anything. Say amen. Who disagrees? There is nothing to learn from Nollywood. Say, God, change my appetite today. Let Nollywood not appeal to me. Are you hearing me? Amen. Amen. There is nothing to learn. Amen. It's not going to bring light to your soul. Amen. How about Facebook? Hallelujah. Where are my people? They're not here. Okay, they're in school. Amen. Facebook can never give, you can never learn anything from Facebook. Hallelujah. If you want to learn something, where do you learn it from? The Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Yesterday I said something. I said there are six openings in the soul. This is not big, it's just basic. This is the soul. There are six openings. This is the main opening, and this is the doorway into the spirit of man, and then which opens to the spirit of God. Now, this one, it is sealed. The devil can't touch it. The spirit, the devil cannot touch the spirit of man. Is there any scripture for that? Yeah, what are we at the Bible school now? What is the scripture for that? Job. Amen. He came, he said, okay, the man is there, kill him. But there is something you cannot touch.
Don't touch his spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.
So Ezekiel 44 tells us that there is a door called the East Gate.
Amen.
This is the East Gate. And Revelation 7 says that there is an angel coming from where? People laugh, Bible people laugh. That there's an angel coming from the east. Hallelujah. Amen. It's coming from God. Hallelujah. It's coming to seal the servants of God in their foreheads. Amen. So that gate is shut. It's only for the prince. Amen. That prince is the Lord. That is the only way God can come to you, is through the east gate. And that east gate is the gate of the mind. And the worship people, those who did worship, you should be listening. You see, God comes to you through words. The word that I'm speaking to you is how God comes to you. God doesn't come to you by emotions. Amen. And when you are worshiping God and you see, you keep your mind, you open your mind to the words. You begin to, as you open your mind to the word, the Spirit of God starts flowing into your soul. Amen. Amen. So that's why the devil will bombard your mind. Bring you, put pot of soup, dressing your bed, dressing your children, in your mind. He blocks it. Images, thoughts, somebody you quarrel with is bombarding your mind. It's blocking your mind. Because as long as those things are in your mind, the life of God cannot flow into you. Hallelujah. But immediately you begin to break through and you focus your mind on the word of God. Say, that will keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on God. That will say, freshly launched that word, war against the word. So, it's the mind. So everything you find, business, is attacking your mind. Because that is the doorway. Amen. Hallelujah. Say that my thoughts are not your thoughts. As far as the heavens are higher than the earth, that's how my thoughts. You understand? So the thoughts of God comes and he takes your thoughts. Hallelujah. He carries you. That's why the mind is like an eagle. Amen. It can rise with God. Amen. That's all we're trying to do in this meeting. We're trying to make our thoughts to rise. Amen. From thinking you are from Ikwere to realizing that you have been from God. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody says, my genealogy is from Igbo State. I say, no, my genealogy is from God. Hallelujah. I can prove it. Amen. And this was the Son of God. Adam was the Son of God. Amen. So you can put yourself, trace yourself to Adam, you can trace yourself to the Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Our thoughts must rise. And as the thoughts of God begin to rise in us, it says, I will soar with you. Above where? The storm. Amen. So, in the things of life, our thoughts are so, on the lower plane. What I'm going to eat, what will I eat? Somebody gossips about me, somebody has offense, somebody, And the carnal man is ruled by his desire and his emotions. Amen. There are four natures. The desire and the emotion are the most dangerous. Amen. The desire and the emotion, the passions, they are the ones that are feeding from Babylon, they are feeding from the things you see. Say that woman desired it because it was good, it was pleasurable. It was the pleasure the woman felt that he decided that I must take it. So the mind is commanded and ruled by the emotions and desires. Whatever the emotion desires, the man must get. And of course, the will is a servant and he yields to whatever he wants to be done. Hallelujah. So we are speaking about the openings in the soul, that there are five. Amen. Yes, there are five
at the realm of the flesh. In a way. Amen. You have the taste. You have the you have the touch, and then you have the sight, and then you have the hearing, and each one of these ones are joined to the mind, to the emotions, to the desires, and to the will. So you are a complex person. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen now. Say amen. Hallelujah. But this is where church must be. We are not yet at this level, and many of us are defeated. We know a lot of grammar, but we cannot translate it to everyday overcoming, because we don't know what we are fighting against. All these openings are controlled by the flesh. The things you see, the things you can desire, and all that. And the Bible says that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is how the carnal man feeds. I wish I can have something to write. So you have the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That is how the natural soul feels, receives life. And the life it is receiving is not the life of God. Amen. It's receiving darkness. Amen. And so it cannot be changed to become the Son of God. Amen. He's born again, but he's carnal. So, and that's what the Bible says about the beast from the earth. It's at that carnal realm. Amen. There's also another beast from the sea. Amen. Both the beast from the earth and the beast from the sea, they're all operating all at the carnal realm. They're just feeding from the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. And the life that it is receiving is not life at all. It is darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. We are talking about Emmanuel, God in us. God that is coming in us is to bring the life of God into our soul. Amen. So that we can function like true sons of God, true servants of God. Praise the Lord. Now, I see many people are very quiet. Now, what does that mean? Are we due for a break? No. So, what should we do? We should take a break. Okay. All right. Okay, we can take a break because this is heavy stuff. But you see, this is still foundational. We have not even got into the nitty gritty. But you see, if we don't clear this, then we cannot move forward. Amen. We can't talk about spiritual offering. We can't talk about the offerings of the soul. We cannot talk about the priesthood of the soul. We can't even. That's still all ahead. No, we need to first take a break. Let's take a break. And then it's 2:20 now. Amen. Amen. Yes? Wait. Hold on, now. Robert was saying something. Sister, we'll come to you. You were saying something. Yes?
Let's
get
our 3 o'clock. We'll continue. Have another small break.
Okay.
Because take it
off.
So if you have.
Okay, short break.
Short break.
Okay. Now, let me appeal to us. Now, we didn't start early. There's nothing you can do about it. Isn't also, we are, let's be realistic. So, the past is gone, We are here. And there are many things for us to do. So, let us make adjustments. Okay? So, let's take a break, like I said. We'll come back by 3. And then we'll push it again. And we'll take a small break again, finish, and then we'll go. It's not too much. Okay? Then tomorrow again, we'll see how far we can go. It's for the benefit of what we have to do. Because there's a lot that God wants to give us. All right? So we'll take the questions and then we will go into a break and then come back and start by 3. Yes? There are 5 senses, yes? Smell. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is smell, taste, touch, sight, and hearing. Those are the 5. And then the last one, you can say is feet. Okay. But I say is east gate. That's 6. You know, making the 6 natures. And if you look at the cherubims in the Revelation, they have 6 wings. Again, speaks of that is 6. That's the highest dimension. There's none of those cherubims mentioned that had more than 6 wings. Wings speaks of an ability to bring an offering in God. Isn't also the bird flies without the wing? Can the bird fly? Good. Without that ability of bringing an offering, you cannot function. You must be able to bring an offering to God. Amen. Being here is an offering. You are giving God your time. You are offering God yourself. It's an offering in God. Hallelujah. Amen. So when we come back, we will go through it again. And then we are doing very well. We are already on the 5th station. That's a big advancement. Let's see how far we can go. We have 14. So let's see how far we can push. And then by God's grace, we'll get there. Praise the Lord. So we'll take a break and then we will come back. Stretch yourself. And then we can come back. Amen.